Now, as we come into this new year of 2013, and as we face the unknown of a new year, we need something to hold on to. We do not know what lies ahead for us in this year, and therefore we need to have something at the start of the year, something upon which we can absolutely depend upon. And here in these few verses, we have that very thing. We have a great and an absolute certainty that is here for us to embrace. When we look at the first one, here is a good motto text for us to take with us into the new year. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful and truth. You will see here how personal it is. It is between the prophet and the Lord. This is part of an intimate conversation in which the prophet Isaiah expresses his confidence in the Lord, and he expresses that confidence to the Lord. He's talking here about that faith which he has in his God. And in these verses, then, we can find four things regarding that faith of the prophet. You can see here, first of all, the statement of faith, or if you like, his confession of faith. The opening words of the first one, O Lord, Thou art my God. Or, O Jehovah, Thou art my God. He plainly, clearly identifies his God. His God is Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God of Israel. That is his God. Other nations, other people, they had their own gods. Those gods that are called over there in Daniel 11 and 39, strange gods. That is, they are foreign, they are alien to the true God. They are not the same as Jehovah. There is no similarity between the gods of the heathens and Jehovah. But here we find the prophet states his own particular confession of faith. He is saying, Jehovah is my God. This is a public confession before all. He's not ashamed to own God as his God. He's saying here, if you like, let all of the world take note that the Lord, Jehovah, that he is my God. Yes, there are many who would be able to say, O Lord, Thou art God. But only the redeemed can say, Thou art my God. That conscious personal relationship that the prophet had with Jehovah, he is able to speak of it here with that consciousness of a personal relationship. And dear men and women, those that are redeemed by precious blood, have that same personal relationship that here this morning we can look to the Lord and we can say, O Lord, Thou art my God. Now, what did the prophet mean when he uses these terms? What do we mean when we speak about the Lord being our God? Well, God is the object of our worship. We worship him. We worship him with everything that we are and everything that we have. We worship him with our substance. We worship him with our time. We worship him with our energy. We worship him with our thoughts. We give these things to our God. Some make to themselves idol gods to whom they bestow these things. Some will say, or it will be their attitude, my work is my God, or my wealth is my God, or my family is my God, or my popularity, or my power, or my influence. These are the gods that we have. Many will, even today around the world and around our district, will be able to relate these particular things. These are the gods. Whatever takes first place in your life, that is what you worship. That is your god. If wealth takes first place in the life, then wealth is your god. If your family takes first place in your life, then your family is your god. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wealth. And if you have some money and the Lord has blessed you and granted to you some wealth, that's good, and we rejoice in that. And there's nothing wrong in loving your family and caring for your family. And that is commendable, and that is what ought to be done. But people, whatever comes first in your life, it is the thing that you worship. It is the thing that you give your substance to, your time to, your energy to, your thoughts to. That is your god. But the believer who is walking with God, he says, the Lord, he has first place in my life. My substance, my time, my energy, my thoughts, my work, he has first place in all of these. This is the great statement of faith that the prophet here is uttering. It is to own him as our Lord in spite of consequences. It is to declare that we are his, that we are and we will be ruled by him who has saved us and him only. Now, as we start this new year, where do we stand in this particular matter of owning the Lord publicly as our own and personal Savior and Lord? Do we make that personal confession of faith? Do we make it publicly so all around that know us know where we stand here? That the God of the Bible, that the God of creation, that the God of redemption, that he is our God, that none can be mistaken. That is the substance of this particular confession of faith. None can be mistaken. God the Lord, he is our God. He is our Lord. We have then the sequel of our faith. If you like the result, the outcome, the outworking, the evidence of our faith. If we today say, O God, O Lord, thou art my God, well then, what is the evidence of that? Look at the verse again. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name. There's the evidence. This is the overruling feature of the believer's life. Exalting the Lord and praising the Lord. I will exalt thee. The term here really is, I will regard highly, have a high view of God. In our own mind, we will have that high view of the Lord where the Lord is exalted. We find the prophet here in the opening verses of Isaiah 6. He sees the Lord, but see how he regards him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he goes on to speak about the glory of God and the power of God as he sees him there. That is how the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord. That is what he's saying here. I will exalt the Lord. It's the term here relates to our own particular consciousness. What the Lord is to us in our own mind. Do we have a high view of God? Is God high and lifted up? Is he the Jehovah who sits upon the throne, who is the sovereign of all sovereigns, who is Lord of lords and King of kings? Is he high and lifted up? Tell me, my dear friend today, child of God, is that how you regard the Lord? Is he high and lifted up? This is what the prophet is saying here. I will exalt thee. He's talking about exalting the Lord, lifting the Lord up in his own mind. What he personally thinks about God, his attitude towards the Lord. And then he says, and I will praise thee. And this has a bearing on what we do before others. I will exalt thee, how we see God in our own mind. I will praise thee, how we will speak of God and what we will relate concerning the Lord before others. The Hebrew word that is used here literally means to stretch out the hand or to confess. It is speaking here of publicly praising the Lord before others. I will stretch out the hand, if you like. I will show to others. I will confess them to others. It expresses approval of, I will praise thee. It expresses here respect for, it expresses gratitude. That's what the word includes. The word in the English comes from prize. In the Latin, it comes from the word price. I will praise the Lord, but I will show him to be someone of great value. He is to be prized. This is the attitude here of the prophet. He would tell others about the greatness of God. What a prize God is. What great value God is. He is lifting the Lord up in his own mind, and he's holding forth the Lord to others as a great and the eternal God. He is the one who is high and lifted up. People, the point is this. The sequel of our faith is the Lord exalted in our own mind and the Lord praised before others. Is there evidence in our life? In 2012, has there been the evidence in our life that we belong to the Lord, that the Lord is our God? Have we had high views of God? Have we seen him high and lifted up, infinite in all of his attributes? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Is that how we have seen God? Infinite in all of his power and glory and majesty. And then, my friend, is that how we have been speaking about God to others? Have we been stretching forth our hand, witnessing to others, confessing him to others, telling others about the greatness of our God? But then we have the stimulant for our faith. Thou hast done wonderful things. Doesn't that really have us to go forward? Doesn't that help our faith? When we think of what the Lord has done, thou hast done wonderful things. The Hebrew word is derived from the verb, which means to separate, to distinguish, to make great. It's always applied to something that is great. For example, miracles. Miracles. Thou art wonderful. Thou art miraculous. The same term is applied to Christ back there in Isaiah 9 and the first 6, he shall be called wonderful. That is, Christ is beyond the ordinary. He is miraculous. When we think of Christ, we can say how wonderfully true that is. His birth was wonderful. He is virgin born. His humility is wonderful. His life is wonderful, lived a sinless life, his sufferings and sorrows, wonderful, because none ever sorrowed or suffered like him. His death is wonderful, for he died an atoning death. His resurrection is wonderful. He rose again from the dead, never to die again. His ascension into heaven is wonderful. His miracles are wonderful. The power that is revealed in his miracles. His love is wonderful. Divine love. We sing that hymn sometimes in our hymn book. Wonderful love does Jesus show. Wonderful grace does he bestow. Wonderful peace in him I know. Bless his holy name. He has done wonderful things. The Lord, the Christ of God, is wonderful in his nature, in his attributes, in all of his works and the things that he has done. Oh, my friend, he has done wonderful things. Look at creation. Look around today. See the wonder of creation. See the wisdom of God revealed in creation and the planning of it. See the power of God revealed in creation and carrying it out and executing it. See, my friend, the power of God in creation, even as he maintains and sustains creation. See the majesty and the glory and the loveliness of God in creation and the colors that is displayed. Oh, the majesty of God. The wonderful things that he has done, the wonderful work of creation. We think of the work of redemption and all that is included in it. Every redeemed one in this service today rejoices in this, being brought into the family of God. How Christ on Calvary wrought redemption for sinners like you and me. There on the cross of Calvary, the eternal sinless Son of God died an atoning death. He bore our sins in his own body on that tree, died as a substitute on our behalf to satisfy the justice of God, so that you and I could be justified. There he shed his precious blood, so that you and I could be cleansed from our sin. Oh, the wonderful work of redemption, separating us unto himself, the great things that he's done for us in life. Look at the first four. This is what the prophet says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." Haven't we found it so during the year that has now gone into eternity? Hasn't every child of God found it to be so? Can't we look back and we can say, "Lord, there have been times, those times when we have felt ourselves right down in the very depth. And the Lord has been our strength. He's been a strength to the needy in his distress." Times when sadness came and difficulties came and problems came and distress came. So that we didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to solve the problems that had rolled in upon us. And, oh, the Lord just drew near. And he strengthened us. And he carried us. Isn't that how we found him? Even as a shadow from the heat. When the heat of the day was great upon us. And when the troubles of life rolled upon us. And the Lord proved himself to be a shadow. We found rest in him. Found comfort in him. Somewhere to lay ourselves. Somewhere to find that peace. And we found it all in the Lord. And here the prophet is saying, "Lord, thou hast done wonderful things." This is the stimulant for our faith. We look back to what the Lord did for us last year. And we go forward with that. Because we know that the Lord who did this for us last year is the very same God who never changes. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord that changes not. And what God did for us last year, his grace was sufficient. His love was marvelous to us. His strength carried us. His wisdom solved our problems and our difficulties. He led us and he guided us. And he's the very same God today. And as we enter into this new year, our God goes with us. This very same God who was sufficient last year, he goes with us and he will be sufficient for us even in this year that we have entered into. That's the stimulant of our faith. And then we have the source of our faith. We read there, "Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Here's the source of our faith. Yes, faith is the gift of God, but it comes to us through the Word of God. Romans 10 and 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." And here in our text we have this reference to God's word, thy counsels. It's translated, the same Hebrew word is translated in other places in the Old Testament as his purpose. And then it's translated as his advice. God's advice is of old. Thy counsels, thine advice are of old, are faithful and truth. You see, the counsel of God, the advice that God gives, the purpose of God goes hand in hand with his word. If you go over there to Jeremiah 23, let me read the verse 18. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who has stood in the place which is the purpose of God for his people? Who has stood in the place where God advises? Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Counsel, the advice that God gives, is according to his word. And when we're reading in our text here, thy counsels of old, the purposes of God and the advice of God, we're speaking here and we relate it with regard his word. The word of God, the counsels of God, the instruction of God, the guidance of God are set out in his word. And you will notice there the unchanging nature, the unchanging character of God's word. It says, thy counsels of old. How old? From eternity. Psalm 119, the verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. Thy word is settled in heaven. My friend, we come to the word of God. How wonderful, marvelous is the word of God, because here is a word that is of old. Here is a word which is from eternity. Here is a word that never changes. God's word never changes. That is what the scripture says. It is forever settled in heaven. Away with every version that changes the word of God. Every version that deletes portions of it. Words from it, changes words, takes away the truths of God's great doctrines. Oh my friend, away with every modern translation that changes the word of God. God's word is from old. From old. We need to recognize that. Word of God isn't going to change. We go into this new year and we read the promises of God, and we read these promises and we were depending on them for 2012 and the year that has gone by. And in the years before that we read the promises and we took them to heart and believed them to be the word of God. Well, they're not out of date. And they're the very same promises of the same God for this new year. We can depend upon the promises of God's word. It's an unchanging word. And then, of course, God's word is truth. Thy counsels of old are faithful and truth. Faithful and truth. Thy word is truth. That's what we read in John 17 and 17. And here is the great touchstone. If we think of that portion of scripture back there in Isaiah in the chapter 8 and in the verse 20, and it's well worth having it before us. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the law and to the testimony, that is, to the Bible. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. What is it saying? It's saying here, anyone who teaches anything other than what's in the word of God It is on through. It is not light. It is darkness. It cannot be depended upon. The Word of God is the very touchstone of our faith. If it is not according to God's Word, it is wrong. Now that's clear, and that's dogmatic, and that's definite. And sometimes preachers are accused of being dogmatic. Sometimes the accusation is that preacher is too dogmatic in what he says. He leaves no way for people to disagree. Well, my friend, I want to tell you, God's Word is dogmatic in this particular matter. No matter what anybody says, they might say, the Lord led me to do this. I prayed about it and the Lord led me to do that particular thing. If it is not according to God's Word, the Lord never led them. The Lord did not guide them that way. The Lord guides according to His Word. That is what we read earlier on in that verse there that we were looking at. That is the leading of the Lord. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. We read in the Psalm 33 in the verse 11. Here, my friend, we have something to go into the new year with. And God is dogmatic about it. And He says, I want you to take my word with you into this new year. It is an unchanging word. It is the very truth of God. My friend, let this point be emphasized in our heart afresh at the start of this new year. And then we see that God is faithful to His word. That's what it says. Thy counsels of old are faithful and truth. That's why I love the Word of God and I love to preach the Word of God. It's simple. Nothing complicated about it. He says here that His counsels are of old, way from eternity, that they never change. He tells us here that His Word is truth. I can depend upon it. And then He tells us here that His Word is faithfulness. God is faithful to His Word. He will not, He cannot break His precepts. He cannot break His promises. We read in Lamentations 3, the first 23 there, we were singing that hymn earlier on, the hymn number 50 that is based upon it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. That word great there is the very same word that is abundant. There's an abundance of faithfulness in the Lord. His faithfulness is infinite. It is absolute. We can depend on His word. Here is the basis of our faith. On this we enter into the new year. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Lord, the verse of that hymn, the last verse says, standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, I cannot fall. Oh, what a wonderful thought this is that we have before us. Psalm 73 and the verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The counsels of God, the Word of God, never changing. It is absolute. It is truth. It is faithfulness. And God says, I will guide you. I will guide you. I will advise you. That is the promise of God even for this year. People, listen to the words and the promises of God. Take them to heart. Learn them. Stand upon them. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Isn't that something we can go into the new year on? He is faithful that promised. The prophet was able to say, every child of God is able to say, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will praise Thee. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, for Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge for the from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. How great is the God that we adore. O dear men and women, let this be something that we take home with us, something that we take to heart, something that we stand upon, so that in the goings of this new year, and as it continues on, and as by God's grace we continue on in it, then let this be the foundation of our joy, that our hope is in the Lord Jehovah, in what He has done, in what He has promised, in His power, in His wisdom, in His truth, and in His faithfulness. May it please the Lord even to have these thoughts to be on our hearts here today. Just let me say in closing that perhaps there's one here today and you're not saved. And you cannot say, O Lord, Thou art my God. You know that the Lord is God, but He's not your personal Saviour. And as yet these promises cannot be applied to you. You don't belong to the Lord. As yet you're living your life without God. You're walking along the journey of life without a Saviour, still in your sins, still bound for a lost eternity. No assurance whatsoever that you'll be found in heaven. Could I say to you, dear unsaved one, at the start of the year, there is salvation to be found in Christ. All of the blessings and the joys that are ours in Christ can be yours today. If you will acknowledge yourself to be a sinner, and if you will come as you are, if you will come as a sinner by faith to Christ, repenting of your sin, owning your sin, and calling on the Lord to save you, He will save you, and He'll do wonderful things for you. And you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to say, the Lord hath done wonderful things for me. He has saved me, cleansed me from a sin, reconciled me to Himself, washed me in His precious blood, given me a spotless robe of righteousness, and He has assured me of an eternal home in heaven. Dear unsaved, come to Christ today. Why go on in your sin? Why go on with your face towards hell when there's salvation for all who will come to Christ for it? The beginning of the year, will you come to Christ? Will you be saved? Dear backslider, if it should be that here you are today, and you are found wandering afar from the Lord and by path meadows, oh, that the Lord would warm your heart again, give you the joy of walking in fellowship and in harmony with Him. Dear child of God, rejoice in all that the Lord has done and all that the Lord will yet do for us. May the Lord be pleased even to bless us with and in these things. Have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing a couple of verses together. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for all that we have in Christ, for all of the promises of God that in Christ are yea and amen. We thank Thee, Lord, today for the assurances that we have of Thy love and of all that is ours through Thy love. We thank Thee, Lord, for the promises that Thou hast given to us for this life and for that which lies ahead. Lord, undertake and accept of our thanks, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.